Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, June 12th, 2014. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. A lot of breaking news, very important news. I know we've got a caller waiting on the line, but I want to cover some of these top stories before we get to that here. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Sam is sitting in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. The situation in Iraq is deteriorating rapidly, depending upon your point of view, where the Iraqi people have seized several key cities in northern Iraq and are now advancing on the heartland towards Baghdad itself. Now, in the Western media, it's insurgents, and it's Al-Qaeda, and it's sectarian violence. And I think what is going on here in Iraq today is a repeat of what we saw in Iran in 1979. Look at the sheer number of people who are involved in this operation. These aren't some little fringe groups of militants, 10 or 20 guys with AK-47s. This is a population on the move. And they have simply, they are fed up and sick and tired of living under a U.S. puppet regime that is looting the natural resources of the nation for their own gain. Exactly the same thing that was going on in Iran under the Shah. And they're taking their country back. Now, there's a lot of conflicting information coming out of Baghdad. There have been a couple of mentions in the Iraqi media that there are already U.S. troops on the ground in Baghdad to assist the security forces. And they're still out there talking this is, you know, crackdown against sectarians. That's not what's going on here. They're taking their country back. Now, to recap how we got into this mess. When Richard Nixon ended gold convertibility for the Federal Reserve notes, effectively ending the Bretton Woods Agreement, foreign demand for U.S. dollars was kept up through the petrodollar deal. This was an arrangement the U.S. made with all the oil-producing nations whereby they would sell their oil only for the U.S. dollar in exchange for certain military support and other guarantees. Now, the U.S. financial sector enjoyed a tremendous economic boom from this arrangement, as all nations had to first come to the United States and trade real products for dollars or borrow dollars at interest from the Federal Reserve before they could buy the raw materials they needed. And the U.S. Financial Center got rich off this mafia-like piece of the action of all global commerce, and being lazy allowed U.S. manufacturing and agriculture to decline to the point where they are now dependent on the continuation of the petrodollar scam and the dominance of the U.S. dollar for international trade and banking. Then in 2002, Saddam Hussein obtained United Nations permission to sell Iraq's oil not for the U.S. dollar, but directly for euros. 1 year later, the United States invaded under the now exposed pretext of nuclear weapons of mass destruction. They lynched Saddam, installed a puppet regime in Baghdad, and now Iraq's oil is back on the world market, but only purchasable using U.S. dollars. And that's where we are right now. The people of Iraq are tired of being ruled by a U.S. puppet regime, and they want their nation back. Now, the United States, of course, is engaged in a campaign of multiple wars against resource-rich nations or nations that dare conduct international trade without using the U.S. dollar. And when you have an agenda like that, you can't afford a single loss because your first defeat is your last one. And so they're in a position of having to basically, for all intents and purposes, reinvade and reconquer Iraq. And that means your sons and daughters in uniform and who knows how many Iraqis are going to be killed and crippled for no other reason than to keep the world plugged into the U.S. dollar, the petrodollar, to keep the U.S. bankers happy and content. And don't it make you feel proud? Rocky Media. The U.S. announced they have no plans to send any of their troops into Iraq, but I'm not sure that we would be wise or prudent to take that at face value, because if the U.S. is in fact on the verge of having to invade Iraq again, they know public opinion is going to be against that, and they're going to be trying to keep things under control. Now, they are openly talking about drone strikes, airstrikes, billions of dollars of military material being sent to Iraq to try and keep the puppet government in power. All righty, let's see. We've got a caller. I'm going to take a phone call, then we're going to go back to Iraq. Ryan in Indiana, aloha. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Mike?
Doing great.
I have a question today. Are the police plate scanners and the cameras evasion of privacy rights? And the question is, what should I do to stop this from happening?
Well, no, it's not an invasion of privacy rights because your license plate on your car is, in fact, visible out in public where the courts have ruled you don't have an expectation of privacy. And for a while, following the installation of red light cameras and speed cameras, there were these little plastic screens you could put over your license plate where you couldn't see the entire license plate from any one direction. But these have been declared illegal in most states, and you're just going to have to live with it. But if something is outside your car, visible to the general public, it's not an invasion of privacy. The question is, are these plate scanners being used just to send tickets to people who run red lights or speed, or are they part of a larger system to keep constant track of where you're going and when you're going there? And I know that's a problem for a lot of people. If you're on your way home from work and you stop at the donut shop for a big whipped cream jelly-filled donut and you don't want anybody to know about it because you're supposed to be on a diet, you should have a little privacy about that. But as far as the courts are concerned, no. If it's on the outside of your car, it's not considered private space. Okay?
What about the street cameras, though? That's not evasion of privacy either?
No, because it's out in public. It's the reverse of the same ruling we've had from the courts that it's okay for you to take pictures and videos of the police out in public doing their job. And even though the police don't like that, the courts consistently rule when they're out in public and visible and they're doing their taxpayer-funded jobs, they don't have an expectation of privacy.
Okay? All right, thank you. All right, you have a
good day. All right, thanks an awful lot. Now then, getting on back to the situation in Iraq. I did a flashback to an article I wrote back during last invasion of Iraq called The Lie of the Century, and it was simply laying out all of the frauds, lies, and deceptions used to trick Americans into that war. Weapons of mass destruction, they have anthrax, they have this, they have that. Saddam Hussein passes wind in the elevators. He files his teeth because he thinks pain is fun and tears the tags off its couch cushions. And obviously, with that history of mendacity on the part of the U.S. government, I think prudence suggests that we expect more of the same. USDA choice bovine excrement flung at us by the American corporate media to try and get us all ready to go back in and spend our money and possibly our children's lives going back into Iraq again. So they're getting ready for the sequel to the Iraq War, and this time we'll get it right. But we're seeing all over the world these countries that have been covertly overthrown by the United States and saddled with a U.S. puppet regime. They're fighting back. They're breaking away. We're seeing that in eastern Ukraine. We're seeing it in Iraq. We're seeing it in Afghanistan. The old models and methods don't work any longer. Now, there was a very interesting story. It was a YouTube video we linked to where the Islamists, and I really don't want to use that word, these are the people of Iraq, are using U.S. weapons. Now, did they steal the weapons, or are we looking at weapons that were taken by security service people who were defecting? And we know that that is a major problem going on in Ukraine, and probably it's happening in Iraq as well, and that's why Iraq is screaming to the U.S., we need you to send whatever you've got, because it's all falling apart here. Now, there was a report in the BBC about how the people of Iraq are flocking to sign up for the Baghdad security services, but they illustrated it with a photo of a bunch of really old men. And so I think they just took some pictures of a crowd and captioned them to say, these people are going to lay their lives down for Baghdad. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's more war propaganda. We'll be right back.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Watch out for the police. They're lurking in every corner. They'll beat you down for your stash. With handcuffs and guns, I bet they're having fun when they take away your cash. They're on the rise, this oversized gang of pirates on the seas. And don't you get booked by a...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the situation in Iraq. The information's very murky. Still trying to figure out exactly what's going on. But again, looking back at the precedent that was set in Iran in 1979, and back then when that first kicked up, the media was saying the same thing. Oh, it's sectarian violence. It's the Muslims. It's the malcontents. And it turned out to be a complete and utter revolution that kicked out the Shah of Iran and the rest of the U.S. puppet government. Story coming out of InfoWars, Iraq gives Obama green light to commence kinetic support against al-Qaeda, which is a polite euphemism for sending in the drones and the airstrikes. Now, there was another article that came out in the Washington Times saying that Obama was caught off guard by the al-Qaeda uprising. They're going to blame al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's bad again. When it was al-Qaeda in Syria, then they're good, and over in Iran, they're bad. It's kind of a ridiculous situation here. And they're really trying to spin it that it's a minority group, it's fringe group. Look how much they have gained in territory, how quickly. This is a mass movement by the population at large. That's what's going on. So, brief look back at what's been going on in Iraq, courtesy of the United States of America. 1990, we had Operation Desert Storm. 2013, we had Operation Iraqi Freedom. And now in 2014, we've got Operation, okay, it's about the oil. And certainly in 1990, we know that Saddam Hussein, when he went into Kuwait, had been told by the U.S. Representative to Baghdad that, yeah, the United States wouldn't do anything if they went into Kuwait because Kuwait had been slant drilling under the border. And then they used it to go on in there and smash up Saddam Hussein. And then, of course, Iraqi freedom, we know, was started with all that nonsense about weapons of mass destruction. And so whatever the U.S. government and the corporate media are telling you about what's going on in Iraq today, the safe assumption is it's just more of the same bovine excrement here. Now, interesting story. Over in Iran, Rouhani is decrying the violence going on in Iraq. And Iran has actually deployed units of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard to help Baghdad take back Tikrit. Now, this is a very smart move on Iran's part, because now Obama can't claim Iran is somehow behind this mass uprising in Iraq and use it to justify an attack on Iran. Certainly by now they're looking at ways of somehow getting this turmoil in Iraq to spread into Syria, because after Assad won his election, there's no enthusiasm for a U.S. invasion of Syria. Nobody sees a reason to. But if the Iraqi uprising goes across the border, and apparently they're already in control of one of the border crossings, then all of a sudden, oh, we have to go into Syria to deal with the militants and the Al-Qaeda and the rest of it here. Now, up in Ukraine, the situation is deteriorating. We mentioned earlier in the week about this National Guard unit that has basically revolted, and they are now marching on Kiev itself over the fact that these people were conscripted and sent to kill their fellow Ukrainians in eastern Ukraine. They weren't paid. They weren't even given food supplies. They were just handed weapons, said, go kill, and so forth and so on. And now they've come back, and Kiev is denying the unit was ever in existence. Seeing another article over in ex-Republic TV where desertion and dissent is rising in the Ukrainian military. And remember, when this whole thing first blew up, we were getting reports about how the Ukrainian police and Ukrainian military were changing sides, going over to the eastern Ukraine and saying, yeah, we don't want to have anything to do with the government we didn't elect. And that's why they've got all these foreign mercenaries piling into Ukraine. Because, by golly, once the West conquers you, you stay conquered. I look at all the stuff going on here, and I keep thinking about the movie Gladiator at the very beginning, where Maximus is out there ready for this final battle against Germania. And his second-in-command says, you know, people should know when they're conquered. And General Maximus says, would you or would I? And that really is one of the best lines in the entire movie. Now, we're already seeing the propaganda ramping up, trying to somehow implicate that this is all Russia's fault for what's going on in Ukraine. Article carried by the BBC saying that the government in Kiev has reported on three Russian tanks entering East Ukraine. And there are a couple of videos of very dubious provenance showing a tank in a street. And nobody really knows where. And they do acknowledge there's no confirmation from the pro-independence people in eastern Ukraine of any kind of Russian military support. This is just more war propaganda. How do we know? First of all, Putin isn't that stupid. He knows that sending any weapons into eastern Ukraine would allow the U.S. to launch an all-out war on the people of eastern Ukraine, making the situation for them far, far worse. And if Russia were going to send tanks into eastern Ukraine, it would be a lot more than just three. Common sense, people. Use your common sense. By the way, a video has surfaced showing the Kiev forces using white phosphorus incendiary weapons against civilian structures in eastern Ukraine. This is a war crime. This is a war crime. The only allowed use for white phosphorus is to generate smoke to mask your position, usually during a retreat. But the video clearly shows these white phosphorus weapons being showered all over civilian residential areas. We're going to grab a phone call. John in Barbados. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? John, are you there?
Yes. Going back to the situation in Iraq, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the situation in Iraq, I think your last analysis was slightly wrong. I think what's happening is the situation is not spreading in Iraq. It's spreading from Syria into Iraq. The ISIL, the same group that is fighting in Syria, is now fighting against its own government, and I think they're taking revenge for the lack of support from the U.S. And we know that Maliki's government is a complete puppet of the U.S.
And they're definitely dealing with their own problems as well right now. They're having a major upset among their people.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing is happening in Libya, where the people are rising up against this this puppet government there. But even in Ukraine, Poroshenko, it's been recently revealed that he was working for the State Department in the U.S. recently.
Yes, and now links, basically WikiLeaks is out there saying that Poroshenko was a U.S. informant, was taking data from inside the government and handing it over to Western sources. And there's another article that came out over in VoltaireNet.org that says Poroshenko is an asset of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Well, from looking and reading all the different reports from various news agencies, it looks like this is another fine mess the U.S. has got themselves into in Ukraine.
Yes, it is. They're all messes. None of these things are going the way these neocon war planners at the Project for the New American Century thought it was going to. We go in, we overthrow, we conquer, that's settled, we can go on to the next one. And they're basically accumulating all of these areas where the U.S. is bogged down. These countries are now breaking away from the American empire. The provinces are in rebellion. And, of course, the United States government is dealing with a population that is tired of the wars, tired of their kids coming home in cheap metal boxes or in wheelchairs. And we don't see a reason for the United States to be projecting power across the globe. Or the better informed understand this is all about trying to re-enslave the world to the U.S. dollar and the petrodollar, and that's not seen as a real good reason to sacrifice the lives of their children.
Well, apparently, I mean, I was reading an article on King News and listening to an interview of Paul Craig Roberts about this situation where America is making plans to invade China.
Well, I'm going to respond to that when we come back from these commercials. Okay, John, we're going to let you go and I'll reply on the air.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What's really happening? Wouldn't you like to know? Tune in to Mike and Pharaoh. Maybe I'm afraid you know. Tired of the mainstream media lies. Listening to Mike will really open your eyes. Tune in to Mike and Pharaoh. Really I'm afraid you
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, responding to John in Barbados, was on all-out war, a state of war, like a new Cold War, which would force all of America's allies to stop using the ruble, the yuan, or the renminbi for international trade and banking. In other words, to bring them all back into the warm and tender embrace of the U.S. dollar and the Federal Reserve System. And so, yeah, the provocations are going to continue, but the reality is the United States absolutely does not have the resources for a physical invasion and conquest of either Russia or China. What they want is a declared state, or maybe even an undeclared state of war, as a tool to keep America's allies, the few that still remain, firmly under the control of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. dollar. We're going to grab another phone call here. Aaron in Nevada. Aloha, Aaron. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Well, Mike, I think you just might be a tiny bit off base on your understanding of the U.S. dollar. That's why I wanted to call in.
Okay.
I think it's just that you're kind of a victim of a case of wishful thinking. That's what really explains it, I think. And I've been covering this aspect since the third quarter of 2011, citing U.S. dollar strength. And that's what's happened, and deflation, with guests like Harry Dent, etc. You've got to look at the thing in the proper way, and I don't think you have. It hasn't gone down. It's going up, Mike. So your dreams are not – listen, I'm the first one with you. I'd like to see an end to this thing, but I have to respect the enemy – and their power. And I think that's where you're falling short, in my opinion.
Well, it sounds to me like what you're saying is, you know, look at it from the point of view of the banksters and the official numbers. you know, because they're so strong, and, you know, that's not my nature, and it hasn't been for the last 20 years. For one thing, we know that all of these financial reports are being rigged. We know the U.S. stock market's being rigged. They were rigging the LIBOR. There's still legal repercussions from that. We know that the government has been massaging the GDP numbers and the unemployment numbers. So any numbers that the U.S. government is putting out about how strong the dollar happens to be have to be taken as just another fiction, trying to maintain the illusion. The U.S. government can't admit to the weakness of the dollar brought about by all the quantitative easing, or that's going to accelerate more countries leaving the dollar. They're trying to create the illusion that the dollar is still attractive and solid and stable, and they're going to maintain that illusion right up to the moment of the implosion.
Yes, I understand you have a series of rationales, and there's a lot of people in your camp, like the Paul Craig Roberts, the guy who's really the father of U.S. debt creation. I don't know if you looked at a chart, but it went up six times U.S. debt from the Carter administration. So when they took over in 1981...
I don't want to get into who was the worst malefactor. This is a bipartisan problem going back 100 years. And I know that with the fall of Eric Cantor in Congress, all of a sudden the Republicans are back talking about raising the debt ceiling. But the question every American needs to be asking is why, when the Constitution authorizes the government to create its own currency interest-free, is our government continuing to borrow that currency at interest from a privately owned central bank? In both cases, it's just being created out of thin air. And the reality is that every bit of currency in circulation enters circulation as a loan at interest. And as it passes from hand to hand, from employer to employee to grocery store to gas station, it's accruing interest to that bank. And that's why the debt always exceeds the available money supply. And when you talk about the strength of the dollar versus these other countries, you're looking at other countries which are also enslaved to this private central banking system. And they're all probably just equally as guilty of rigging the numbers to try and look good to their populations as the United States does. So
hold on, Mike, if I may interrupt you. These bankers that you're referring to, and I agree with you, I would like to see, you know, U.S. notes, just like the old days. But here's the fact is that the ruble and the yuan or the renminbi have no track record, okay? They're not trusted. They haven't been stressed.
Wait a minute. Now, on that, you're outright wrong. Right now around the world, they're seen as far more trustworthy than the U.S. dollar for the very simple reason that you can take a yuan and go back to China with it and acquire manufactured goods or agricultural produce. You can take the ruble, go to Russia and buy manufactured goods and agricultural produce or oil and gas. With the United States of America, our financial system got very lazy. They got rich and happy off of this mafia-like piece of the action of global commerce, and they allowed our manufacturing to decline to the point where hardly anybody wants to buy a product that says made in the USA anymore, and nobody wants our agricultural exports because of the GMO disaster. So right now you've got 80 nations that have signed on with the BRICS group that are looking at abandoning the U.S. dollar because they don't see it as trustworthy.
Yeah.
Primarily because every month the Federal Reserve is creating another couple of billion, well, 100 billion out of thin air to pour all over Wall Street and Washington, D.C. to keep this little Ponzi scheme going a little bit further. So I'm sorry, but, you know, the world is smart enough to realize what is a trustworthy, reliable currency and what is not. Now, at the end of World War II, when the U.S. dollar was redeemable in gold, that's what made it trustworthy. But Richard Nixon ended that in 1970, and they tried to prop it up with the petrodollar deal, and now that's falling apart. Anyway, we are running out of time, and I need to take another phone call here, so we're going to let you go, Aaron, and switch over to Dave in Niagara Falls. Aloha, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. It's good to talk to you again. I hope this isn't too far off topic, but I really respect your opinion when it comes to scientific and, you know, technical matters, among other things. I've been looking at bitcoins for a while here, and I'm just wondering if you think it's been around long enough that it's advisable to buy them. Like it seems to me theoretically it's free from any kind of, you know, manipulation or price suppression.
I wouldn't make that leap. I mean, in theory, the Bitcoin is very good, but even in the conventional currencies like dollars and British pounds, much of that is virtual and lives only in the computer. So that is not a revolutionary idea. The what made the Bitcoin attractive to a lot of people was that it was a peer-to-peer currency that didn't rely on a central issuing bank that was going to issue the Bitcoin as a loan at interest, and that's what's made it really attractive, and that's why it's under continual attack from the private central bankers.
Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, from what you know about it, is it? Do you think it's as a means of storing your money, keeping value? Do you think it's safe to purchase?
I wouldn't use it, and I know a lot of people would disagree with me, but it is virtual. It can be long. I mean, there have been hacker attacks on the Bitcoin wallets. If you want something to store your value, go to a physical commodity, whether it's silver or gold or right now platinum and tantalum are looking very good. They don't seem to be manipulated the way silver and gold are, but you need an actual tangible, storable, fungible commodity that will hold its value. I think that's the best option of all.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate that.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Now, getting back onto the news here, Washington, D.C. and the political parties, in fact, indeed, the entire political structure of the United States is still reeling from Eric Cantor's historic defeat in the primary. He is stepping down as the House Majority Leader. There's already a power scramble going on to find his replacement. And we're seeing a whole bunch of articles basically looking at what's going on. Over in Haaretz, they're saying the Tea Party has taken control of the Republican Party. I'm not sure I agree with that, but we're seeing all these politicians worrying and fretting about how Israel's influence over the U.S. Congress took a major hit with Eric Cantor's defeat. And AIPAC, you know, was just dreaming of having a pro-Israel firster as Speaker of the House, and now that may not happen. And so it's a major, major blow. Story over in ex-Republic TV, GOP leadership in chaos after Eric Cantor's lose. And the reason for that is everybody had this power structure they thought was there and was inviolable, and now, of course, the guy right up there at the majority leadership just lost his primary. Now, yesterday on the show, I predicted we were going to see a flood of articles claiming that Eric Cantor lost due to anti-Semitism, and it didn't really take very long for my prediction to come true. Over at the Jewish Daily Forward, Jonah Goldberg was out with an article saying, oh, Cantor lost because he's Jewish, and his district lines were redrawn, and the anti-Semites ganged up on him. And I don't think it has anything to do with Cantor's religion or ethnic backup. It has to do with Cantor's unflagging support for Israel's government, no matter what crimes they were committing. And the voters just stood up and said, who is this guy really think he's supposed to be working for? The American people or the government of Israel? And I think they came to the conclusion that it's time to get all of these people in Washington, D.C., who are always talking about how they're a friend of Israel, and replace them with people who are friends to America. And we really do need that in these dark times. We'll be right back after these commercials.
Dozens of diseases ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aran process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The 3-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Get the hardest-hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just
what... And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And the fallout from Eric Cantor's defeat is actually getting a little silly. And I think they've jumped the shark on this one, because apparently Reed Epstein, who's over at the Wall Street Journal now, used to be with Politico, and he's out there and he's gone back and he found an article written by David Bratt in 2011 saying it was always possible for another Hitler and another Nazi government to rise again. And there's nothing wrong with that statement. It's certainly possible. It may even be happening. We've got the United States government basically following Dictatorship for Dummies, written by Adolf Hitler, false flags, lies to start wars, torture, concentration camps, all of that stuff. It's a perfectly valid statement. But Reed Epstein is trying to spin it that David Bratt wants to bring back Hitler and the Nazis, and that's why he was out there for Eric Cantor. Boy, it's definitely shark jumping time here. We've got a couple of callers on the line. Sally in New York. Aloha, Sally. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael Rivera. Thanks for having me on. Yes, on Friday, tomorrow, I am fighting vaccine mandates here in New York City, which start in July. This is the last meeting of six that we've had, and I'm asking all New Yorkers to come out if they want to protect our youngest, five and under, from getting an additional mandated flu shot annually. So that's going to be at 244 West 54th Street on the 10th floor this Friday, June 13th. And we're also going to be premiering my movie, Vaccines Cause Autism. Now, I'm telling people, you're lucky if your kids live long enough to get autism. It's about survival now. I need all hands on deck, you know? And also, the state is proposing Gardasil, HPV Gardasil vaccine for four-year-olds without parental consent. Glory be to God. And it's not the worst. It's the annual, baby schedule of 49 plus now the mandated flu shots. This is really the horrifying, I don't know, man.
I understand your frustration. Can you give us the time and location one more time slowly so people can write it down?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. 244 West 54th Street on the 10th floor at 6 p.m. And we're having an educational session, an open mic, and then the movie Vaccines Cause Autism is premiering. So it starts at 6 p.m.
That's tomorrow, Friday the 13th, for all you Trish Gadekaphobics. Okay?
A real horror film for Friday the 13th, Vaccines Cause Autism.
All righty. Well, Sally, thanks an awful lot. Good luck. I hope you'll call back next week and tell us how it went.
Hello.
Okay, we're going to switch over to Nathan in California. Aloha. Nathan, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Michael. Just a quick call give you a tidbit of information about Eric Cantor. Back in 2010, we had a big landslide of people go into Washington, you know, Tea Party people. And these people were, you know, supposed to go to Washington to oppose the Affordable Health Care Act and advocate a balanced budget and lesser government, et cetera. But one of the things that made me mad was Eric Cantor scooped up about 67 or 68 of these Tea Party candidates that, you know, won election out of 83 or so, and he put them on a junket, all-expenses-paid trip to Israel. And when I heard that, you know, this was in spring break 2011, I was absolutely furious. You know, these people were not elected to give Israel a blank check for anything they want. And so if the Tea Party people have said to Eric Cantor, enough is enough, good for them. So there's my two cents.
Well, I absolutely agree, and I hope it's the start of a trend, because right now it's very obvious looking at how our nation has been looted and our children set off to wars on Israel's enemies, that a friend of Israel is no friend of America. And right now, America needs leaders who will put America first, second, and third. And Israel goes way down at the bottom of the list, along with messing around with any other country. We have to take care of our nation right now.
I wholeheartedly agree. One last thing, Michael, and I'll get off the line. I would certainly hope that the Tea Party will take the opportunity at this point to oppose John Boehner's Democratic candidate. When you go to the 8th District of Ohio, you'll see that John Boehner has raised $11 million, and his opponent has something like $25,000. And this is a marvelous time for the Tea Parties to give this opponent a little bit of money and send a message to John Boehner that we've also had enough of your nonsense and give this guy the boot and get somebody else in. He may not be any better, but the voters have to stand up and do something. So I'm all for supporting Boehner's opponent, even if he's a dog catcher, you know?
Well, I mean, common sense is going to tell you if you've got two candidates and one of them has got tons and tons and tons of money, they're not going to be working for you. They're going to be working for whoever gave them that money. And so as a general rule of thumb, if you don't want to go out and study the issues or even the candidates, just as a rule of thumb, vote for the one who doesn't seem to have a lot of money because they're not obligated to the money junkies or to Israel or to the military-industrial complex or whoever on else. We need to make massive amounts of campaign funding a liability. Just like we're making Friend of Israel a liability in order to bring the politicians back to realizing they are supposed to be working for we, the people.
Right. And one last thing, and I'll get off. I read an article, I think it was yesterday or the day before. Eric Cantor's outspent his opponent 25-1. It was something like $156 a vote or something to $5.70 a vote. So I was just amazed when I heard that he lost, you know. I mean, that's a big spread, 25-1. And so good
yeah,
for the
it
voters.
Was. It
good
was.
For the voters. And thank you for taking my call, Michael.
All right, you got it there. We're going to let you go here. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Now, there's been an interesting court decision, and this story is reported over at motherboardvice.com and a couple of other places as well. Apparently, the United States Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit has ruled that the government cannot track your cell phone without a warrant. And the test case was an individual who was arrested for a crime based on location data gleaned from his cell phone using some of these new technologies like Stingray. And he went into court and said, this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. You didn't have probable cause, you didn't have a warrant, and the appeals court agreed. The obtaining of that data from your cell phone without a warrant is a Fourth Amendment violation. Doesn't mean they're going to stop doing it. It means they can't use it to bring you into court. We have to stand up for that Constitution. The Constitution, use it or lose it. And we have to fight for that Constitution in the face of a government that will get up there and swear an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and then say, well, there's nothing in that oath that says I have to comply with it or obey it. I'll hang it on the wall. I'll put it in a nice frame with a bulletproof glass, but it doesn't mean I have to do what it says. Yeah, it does. That Constitution and the Bill of Rights is the original contract with America. And the government is legal and legitimate only when it operates within those restrictions. And when it steps outside, it's not a legal, legitimate government any longer. And you owe them no allegiance, no obedience. You're not obligated to pay their bills, and certainly not to sacrifice the lives of your children in their endless wars of conquest. Now, more news from the world of cyberspace. Apparently, there's a massive flaw has been found in Google's Gmail service that could expose every user's email address to hackers for mass marketing campaigns and so forth and so on here. Now, getting on to the whole gun issue, and they're trying to just really pound on all these recent mass shootings to say gun ban, guns are bad. CNN out front literally tried to blame Ron Paul for the Las Vegas cop shooting, because anybody who's pro-gun shares the guilt and the blood. They're just out there throwing this thing in every direction. And you know something? It works against them. When they're out there saying Ron Paul's to blame, Alex Jones is to blame, Michael Rivera's to blame, it just spread too thin, and everybody said, oh, come on, they're just making this stuff up, which is, of course, exactly what they're doing. More about the gun grabbers when we come back from our top of the hour break.
Financial